everyone in the Father's house. We trust that you're well and that God is blessing you. As you all know, Janet and I went away for a wonderful holiday down at the coast. We had a lovely time. Thank you for your prayers. And being away gave me a chance to think about things, to look at the church and see where we're going. As you all know, we were planning to have a meeting on Sunday, this coming Sunday. I've been in touch with Claude, discussed it, and because of the COVID regulations, we just felt that it's not a good idea to have that meeting right now. So that meeting is postponed indefinitely, and we do plan to have it eventually. The focus of the meeting, apart from being together again, hopefully hailing a new era where there's no COVID regulations, was fundamentally to chat openly about the church, where we're going, where we're headed, etc., and to allow everybody to give the input. Because of circumstance, that's no longer possible right now. And so, in a sense, I've had to decide the future of the church in the interim until such time as we can gather together. Having thought about it and looking at what's happening around us, I've arrived at a few conclusions. First of all, it's important to realize that this whole COVID saga is not so much to do with health, although that is very much part of it. But behind it, from a global perspective, it is a mechanism that the enemy has designed and is using primarily to stop the church. If you want evidence of that in our own country, you can go to a casino right now. It's open. But you cannot go to church. That should tell us something. Yesterday, when the new administration was inaugurated in America, America was handed over to possibly the most evil and corrupt cartel that is on the earth. Very much part of the plan for world dominance. The election was not free, it was not fair, it was rigged. Donald Trump won with a landslide, but because of massive fraud, global fraud, different governments involved throughout the world, all backed by this cartel, this one world government cartel, the American people were defrauded of their choice, their free choice of a president. Now, that has great repercussions for us. And I don't want to enumerate exactly what's going to happen because we can't foretell in the short term or the long term. But can I just say this? That now that the American people, for the time being at least, have been put out of the way, the only thing standing between one world government and total control is the church. That's you and I. Now, I don't want to be a fear monger at all, but what I need to say is that we have been prepared for such a time as this, and we as a church are going to have to be very wise, very resilient, and very brave. The Bible exhorts us to be wise as serpents, gentle as doves. And in planning for the church and deciding on how we're going to go forward, I've had to take a lot of things into consideration. What I need to say is this, that we need to prepare for a church that operates on an underground basis. That's not the case exactly right now, but that is where things are headed. I believe there will be a short period of grace after the COVID pandemic has eased off. We'll be allowed to open churches for a short while. But please note that this whole global conspiracy operates on the basis of control of resources, as I've been trying to explain time and time again in the church. Our beloved president had to go cap in hand to America and beg from this cartel for the resources to keep the country afloat. And that's what they wanted all along. And obviously they will help out, but with that help comes control. And inevitably, somewhere along the line, that control is going to be used against the church. Now, what does that mean for us? It means for us that we need to develop a strategy that will operate irrespective. God is not restricted to buildings and mass gatherings. The biggest church in the world is the Chinese home church. Millions of people spread across China, and not one edifice can be said to be their church. Now, I'm not saying that we will not have a facility, but I think it's God's grace that we never built a big facility as a church. We never could build a big facility. Those big facilities right now are under tremendous pressure. They rely on feet coming in on Sundays and making their contribution to keep afloat. And they cost a lot of money to keep afloat. Fortunately, we don't have that. We rather put money that comes into the church into people. The church is people at the end of the day. But I want to read a scripture and just try and explain how we practically plan to go forward. The church is not going to die. Let me just tell you that right now. In fact, our church is going to thrive. But we have to be wise and we have to take the necessary precautions and do what is right under the circumstances. We speak about this a lot. The Lord said to his disciples in the Gospel of Matthew as recorded, Matthew 18 verse 19 and 20, "Again I say to you, that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. About a year ago, the Lord gave us a song, "Where Two or Three Are Gathered." That's the song that introduced this message. I thought the song was profound at the time, but what I didn't realize is that it's prophetic. The church, in a sense, is going to continue with this understanding. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now, let me just try and explain how I see this working for us in our Father's house. As you know, we've spent quite a lot of our time in personal training, and we've always believed in it. We believe in hands-on instruction, impartation, growing together. We do believe that the church needs to make a statement in the community, and to make that statement it needs to be strong and in a sense visible. I firmly believe that in a few months' time we'll be allowed to be visible, and there'll be a window of opportunity where we must be visible, we must attract others, and we must begin this process. However, I do believe that we need to prepare for that time. We cannot just sit around and operate on a maintenance mode. Cannot do that. We have to have some form of strategy that will develop us as a church, irrespective of the circumstances. And the key is in that statement, two or three are gathering. Now, we will not be holding, if I can call it this, official public services in the near future. However, we will continue on Sunday afternoons at 4:30 with our informal gathering. Let's call it a gathering for coffee or a family gathering, whatever it is. It's very important to keep that going. And the reason is this. We must, under all circumstances, continue keeping praise and worship alive in the church. And fundamentally, that meeting is for that purpose, for people to gather and worship the Lord. Now, we will observe necessary precautions. At every meeting, we'll come against the spirit and the virus, COVID virus. We'll proclaim it under the blood at every meeting. For those who would like to wear their masks, you are more than welcome. We'll place a row of chairs right at the back where you can sit if you want to observe social distancing. And please don't feel that you'll be ostracized or ridiculed in any way, shape or form. We do understand that people have got risk levels, various risk levels at home, and obviously different faith levels, etc. So please, we will be observing that. For those who don't wish to wear a mask, you'll also be more than welcome, and there will be opportunity for those who do to isolate themselves, in a sense, observe social distancing, but we plan to go forward with those meetings, those critical meetings, anyway. We do realize many people can't make those meetings, but we encourage those who can to come. As I said, we need to keep praise and worship alive in our midst. It is our lifeblood. If the church is not offering up praise and worship and corporate prayer, we will soon be reduced to nothing. That's how it works in the kingdom of heaven. So please, understanding is it's not necessarily an open meeting, although anybody is welcome. We're not having that meeting in a public place. We're having it in our home. We are gathering as family and friends, and we're worshiping God in the process, which is real church at the end of the day. So please bear with us. If you don't feel that you should come, not obligated to. As I've said all along in this church, we operate on the basis of free will. No one is being forced to do anything. However, I feel we must keep that going for the reasons I've mentioned. However, that's really not going to be enough, just those gatherings, small gatherings with a few people that manage to attend. What we want to do is continue what we are doing, but harp it up, if I can call it that. And what I foresee is a constant stream of people coming through the home at times that are suitable for them, in twos, threes, or individually, very much like we already have, for the purpose of ongoing training. We need to have, when the window of opportunity opens up for us, pillars in the church that will be able to take authority and hold their own and be able to help with the work of ministry. We need to have pillars, which we have been developing all along. Now, what I'm going to suggest is this, that I know for some it's impossible to get here for one reason or another. For others, it is possible that times are important and difficult in some cases. But what I'm going to suggest is that in the course of the next few days and weeks, we are going to be in contact with everybody who is associated with our Father's house. And what we are going to do is talk to you individually and as families and arrange some form of training program. We want everybody to be involved with some form of personalized training program. Many have already been involved with this, so it's not really new, but it's just an expansion. What I'd like you to consider very carefully in the next few days, so when we do get in contact with you, we'll be able to go straight to the issue. But consider yourself and your position and what you feel called to do. And think about what you feel you need to be further equipped for what you purpose to do. If you have no idea, that's fine. We can talk about it and come to some arrangement. But the idea is that at times suitable to the individuals and maybe groups of people, we'll be having Bible studies, etc., right here in our home during the day, in the evenings, whenever it is suitable. For those who cannot make it, what I'm going to suggest is that we organize some form of Zoom conferencing. You might say, look, we want to study this, but we can't get there for whatever reason. Then let's arrange a time and then we'll contact via Zoom. As we've discovered, Zoom is not ideal, primarily because our internet connection in this part of the world is shocking and sometimes it causes technical problems. I'm not too keen on mass Zoom meetings that don't really work, but individually I think we'll be able to manage. So please consider that. But please, let's not regard Zoom as like a cop-out for actually getting here. Because once again, with Zoom, it's not personal. It is personal, but it's not, how shall I say? There's a spiritual dimension which takes place when two or three are gathered. The Lord didn't say when two or three are conferencing via Zoom. He didn't know about that at that stage. Well, probably knew it was coming, but he couldn't tell them that. Anyway, the point is this. Let's consider Zoom contact second best. But the best we do in the circumstances. The point is we must keep in contact and every one of us must know where we are going and what we are being trained and developed for. As I say, it's almost like a training period for the church working underground, which, sad to say, if to the church at large doesn't stand up to the plate, that will happen. All right. But when it happens, we will just carry on as normal and we'll be able to handle it. So I hope everybody understands this. Please, this suggestion is not set in stone. As I said, we were planning to have a meeting where we could get input from one another. And please, the door is open for contribution suggestions that we can use just for this period of time where we have to make do. What I'm praying is that the church will grow stronger than ever, that everybody will be involved and that we will not lose contact with one another. We do also have in mind later on that certain individuals, if they feel ready, can start their own small gatherings, twos or threes, discipleship, etc. But we'll just let that play out as it has in a small measure and as we believe it will. So I hope everybody has grasped what we're planning to do. I'm not too sure about men of faith at this stage. We'll have to discuss it. I don't know how things are with Paul and Rolfie, but we'll talk about that as men of faith. However, the rest of us, please note this. We will be meeting. There will be a gathering here. Private gathering of family and friends. That's technically what it is, although we all know it's actually church. We will spend time praising and worshipping the Lord. We will spend time in corporate prayer. We'll share the word. Every Sunday there will be a message. That message will either be, in a sense, canned, or it will come from the actual meeting. It depends how things pan out. So if it's from the meeting itself, it'll probably be a bit later, because it takes time to edit, etc. And if it's canned, as it were, it should be on Sunday itself. But please don't once again think, oh, well, we'll just wait for the message. We won't go to the service. Can I just say, gathering together draws the word out of whoever is teaching and preaching. and we do need to develop those gifts in others, there must be a platform for that. And that's what the gathering on Sunday evenings, Sunday, late Sunday afternoons is about. If you have any questions, please, I'd like you just to contact me on my WhatsApp and let's just work for it. I pray that everybody will be happy with this arrangement, as temporary as it is. And personally, I'm quite excited because it means that we are making a concerted effort to make sure everybody who's associated with our Father's house is in some form, involved with some form of development, personal growth, etc. And we would hate anybody to fall off the bus because of this terrible thing that's come upon our land and upon the world. I trust that everybody will remain safe, and I'm going to pray now. We're going to come against the spirit of COVID. We're going to come against any form of fear, and we're going to trust God, and we're going to believe him for wisdom and for power as we, as our Father's house, go forward in his precious name. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for our Father's house. Thank you for everybody who's associated with us. I pray that you'll bless them. Bless us, Lord. We pray, Lord, we come against the spirit of disease, any form of infirmity, sickness, be it COVID-19 or whatever. We come against it in your mighty name. We proclaim that every member of our Father's house is covered by the blood, and we have no need to be afraid at all, because greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. We pray for wisdom as we go ahead, Lord, and we pray that our Father's house will be found right in the middle of your will, and that you'll use us powerfully to save people, to snatch them from the fire, and to be a pillar of strength in these dark times. We thank you for your love for us, and your love for everybody who is on this earth. We thank you, Lord, that we want to express that love as powerfully and as consistently as we can. We thank you for your institution, the church, your body. We pray that you'll grow strong and be able to weather the storms. Not only weather the storms, but Lord, stand firm and turn the storms around. Cause the storms to abate. In the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen.